2 Corinthians chapter 6, looking at this morning in a time accepted. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Amen. And Brother Joe, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. The Bible says, "We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in what? A time accepted. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is what? Accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. A time accepted." There are so many things that there are time limits on. When you are baking a cake, there is a time limit on it. A minimum and a maximum. A minimum, if you want the cake to not be doughy in the middle, you have to cook it at least a certain amount of time. But if you leave it in too long, there's a time accepted to leave it in. And there's a time, if you go past that time, it will not be accepted because you'll be offering your family a burnt offering and they probably won't appreciate it. So there's a time accepted. There are time constraints. You know, God is so very long-suffering, so long-suffering. 2 Peter, if you hold your place here, turn to me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, there are probably so many people in this world who have heard the gospel but are waiting to receive Christ. And you know what? There's only a certain window of opportunity. And then time is going to be over. As at this moment, there's time accepted. In 2 Peter 3:8, the Bible says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is with the Lord as what? A thousand years. And a thousand years as what? One day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is what? Long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Brother Matichera was talking about Snake Man. I know Brother Matichera has tried to witness to him. And I don't know if this man ever made a profession of faith or not. I do not know. But I do know he's expecting a very rough crowd to be there at that funeral today. There's only a time window. There's only a time frame. God's long suffering is still going on, but at the point of death, it's too late. It's too late. Notice in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 in verse 27. Hebrews 9, 27. The Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto men," what? "Once to die, but after this," what? "The judgment." Is there such a thing as reincarnation, as said the Hindu religion teaches? Is there such a thing as dying and then coming back as something else? Maybe an animal, maybe a tree, I don't know. No, the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and what is after that? The judgment. So, no, reincarnation is not a doctrine from God. It's a doctrine of devils. It gives people a false hope that they can die and then improve themselves and come back as something higher and higher and higher. And that is not the case. There's only one chance. There's only one time that's accepted. That's during life. And we don't know, none of us know how long this life is going to last for us. It's going to run out. Back in 2 Peter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, God is so long-suffering. But there is a time appointed, and that long-suffering is going to end at a certain point. 2 Peter 3:10. So maybe you should go back and read in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as what? As a thief in the night. So it's going to come unexpected. As a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with what? A great noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Oh, we believe in a global warming, but not the type of global warming this world believes in. There's a global warming coming, but it's when God speaks the word and the elements are going to melt. Some people have said, well, yeah, I wonder if God will use a nuclear bomb to do that. God doesn't need a nuclear bomb to melt anything. When he come down on Mount Sinai, to this very day, Mount Sinai is black. The rocks were burnt. He didn't need a bomb to do that. So verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This kind of goes along with our Sunday school lesson this morning. Our portion is not here in these material things. This isn't our portion. Our portion is with the Lord. That's why we lay up treasures in heaven. Notice in Matthew chapter 6. That's why our treasures aren't here. Matthew chapter 6. Chapter 6. And let's see here, verse 19, Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Where what? Moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will what? Your heart be also. So that tells the true story. Wherever my heart is, that is my true treasure. It's easy to say something with our mouths, but where is our hearts? Because that is where our true treasure is. So there's a time appointed, a time accepted. You know, even the demons, the devils know that there's only a window of opportunity. And for them, of course, there's for the devils, the demons, there's no window of opportunity for salvation. Demons are fallen angels. Fallen angels do not have flesh and blood like us. So there's no plan of redemption for them because the angels don't die. They don't have flesh and blood like we have. So there's no plan of salvation for them. They were in, and some still are, in God's presence, and they rejected him being in his very presence. But notice in Matthew chapter 8, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28, Matthew 8, 28. The Bible says, and when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us, what? Before the time. These demons that were possessing these individuals, they knew that there is a time coming when they are going to be judged. They're not going to be free to roam the earth. And so they're saying to Jesus, art thou come hither to what? Torment us before the time. They know that torment is coming to them. And they were wondering, are you coming before the time to torment us? They know there's a time coming. But sadly, many people in this life do not. They do not know that a time of terrible torment is coming. Time is running out for people to be saved. Notice in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I believe that God is giving just a little taste of these pestilences and plagues that are coming upon the earth, trying to wake people up. James 4:14. The Bible says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even what? A vapor that appeareth for what? A little time." There's our word again. Our lives only appear for a little time. And for you young people, it seems like life really is a long time. But when you get older, you see life is short. It's very short. "It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time." And then, if a person does not receive Jesus Christ, then it's eternity in the lake of fire. But as Christians, stop and think about it. We only have this short time to serve Christ. And then it's all eternity. Did I serve Him? Because in this little time is going to be over, and then what about all eternity? You know, it's kind of like everyone as a Christian is, in effect, self-employed. In other words, no one is over us as Christians making us do something. No one is over any one of us saying, "Okay, you are going to read 4 chapters in your Bible today, or 8 chapters, or 12 chapters, or 16 chapters," whatever Bible reading schedule you're on. No one stands over you or me saying, "You are going to read this much every day. You are going to spend this much time in prayer. You are going to be in church. You know, you are going to witness." You know what? We're all, as it were, self-employed. In other words, we all have the opportunity each day to serve Christ. It's up to us. Will we do it? Because when this short time gets over, we're going to see just how important that is. But right now, we take so much for granted. You know, it's kind of like, for as Christians, it's kind of like being in school with no tests. Now, how would you young people like it to be in school and never have to take any test until graduation day? Well, some would say, "All right, no test, just one test for the whole 13 years, kindergarten through 12. Well, you may say, "Well, that'd be great." But the only bad part about it is you've got 13 years then that you might not be studying. You might not be taking your responsibility seriously as a student. And, you know, it's kind of like the Christian life. There are no tests per se. Now, having said that, we just come through Sunday school and we face chastisement if we don't do the Lord's will. And so keep all this in context, if you would. But I'm trying just to illustrate just how much freedom Christ gives to us in our lives. And we can either use our time, our imagination for the Lord, or we can use it just wastefully for this world, and it all go up in smoke. Notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the time we're talking about is the judgment seat of Christ. That really is our test day for each of us who are saved. That's what's coming. And so we haven't had a weekly test. I mean, you know, we don't have to email God, you know, a test, you know, our sheet every week, you know, "Well, Lord, I've done this and this and this," or "I've spent this much time doing this." No, it's all going to be at this point right here, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3, 11. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's what? Work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed," what? "By fire." It's going to be revealed. You know, now the big thing is in this world is to have revealing parties. You know, they reveal the gender of the baby. I always like to do it the way Brother Reese and Sister Stacy did it. I didn't want to know, okay? But a lot of people do. And so they have revealing parties. And I heard about, which is so crazy, they get more and more trying to outdo the other person's revealing party. So some young father decides they're going to do a revealing party, and I don't know exactly how he did it, and I can't even think of the material it is, but there's some material that's used in targets that blow up. I know a lot of you guys know the name. I don't know the name of it offhand. And so, obviously, whatever in the explosion was going to be either pink or blue, and so sets up this whole thing and shoots. Well, evidently, he used too much of it or what, but he died in the revealing of the child. Can you think of anything more foolish? Well, that's what happened. He died. He miscalculated something. He died in it. But for us, there is a coming, a revealing party, per se. A revealing party of what our lives have really been all about. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be what? Revealed by fire. So in this case, it's the fire that's going to reveal it. It's the fire. All of our works are going to go through the fire. And our works may seem really nice. And our works may be a huge pile. But what's going to reveal what's really in those works? Is this here? It's going to be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall what? Receive a reward. So if our works can make it through the fire, and if the fire can just burn off the dross, and wow, there was really something done with a good motive, with a right heart, there is something of value for eternity. But verse 15, if any man's work shall be what? Burned. He shall what? Suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Verse 15 is very clear. This is not losing one's salvation. The person is saved, but his work, there's a loss. There's no reward. That's our revealing party coming. It's the judgment seat of Christ. That's why it is so important that everything we do with the right heart. And it's so important that we get our thoughts right. So important. Notice with me in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse 5, 2 Corinthians 10, 5, casting down what? Imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth who? Itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every what? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's why we can't let ourselves in our minds and in our hearts have a critical spirit. Because if we are doing that, then, you know, we may, you know, maybe we're called upon to do something, to help someone, whatever it is. And so we say, well, I'll do it, but I don't really want to do it. And we grumble and complain. Do you realize then, whatever that thing was that we were called upon to do at the judgment seat of Christ is going to go up in smoke? There's no reward for that. At the revealing party, it's revealed that we had a bad attitude. And there's no reward. That's why it's so important for us to make sure that not only our mouths are not have the critical spirit, but our minds casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, sometimes we may say something, and many times people then say, oh, I didn't mean that. Now, the I didn't mean that may come later. I mean, it may come a day later. It may come a week later. It may come a month later. It may come years later. You know what I said to you? I didn't really mean that. The thing is that's why it's so important for us to be controlled, bring the thoughts into captivity, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so we've got to deal with things in the mind and in the heart so we don't say the wrong thing. Because if we think the wrong thing, eventually we'll say the wrong thing. So it's so important. We only have a little time. We only have a little time. With these mouths, you know, it seems like in different situations that I've been in where someone is dying and there's a little time, the hospice nurse will say something like, you know, your loved one is, you know, about ready to pass away, getting close to that point. So if you have anything, and I've heard him say this right to both of them, you know, if you have anything you want to say to each other or make right, now's the time. But isn't it a shame that we have to get to those situations to make things right? It's really a shame. Time is running out. Time is running out. Notice in Matthew chapter 13, there is a time accepted. The problem is we do not know when that time is going to run out, when the alarm is going to sound. In Matthew 13, verse 24, the Bible says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So when Jesus told this parable, you know, we can't see people's soul. We don't know who is saved and who is lost, other than by their fruits ye shall know them, Matthew 7 tells us. And so all we can do is look at the fruit, see if it matches up with what the mouth says. But the Bible tells us here that there are, and shows us by this, that there are going to be a number of people that are pretending to be saved that are not. And we see the picture of that in Matthew chapter 7. We've went here often, but in Matthew 7, verse 22, Matthew 7, 22, the Bible says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then why profess unto them what? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Have you ever had someone come up to you thinking you were someone else and start talking to you? I've had people do that. And it's like I'm thinking, do I know this person? And then sometimes they'll say something, and then I know for sure they've mistaken me for someone else. But sadly here, many people, what's wrong here in verse 22? What is wrong is they're standing before God saying, "You've got to let me into heaven. Don't you realize all that I've done for you? I've prophesied in your name. I've cast out devils in your name. I've done many wonderful works in your name." The problem is it's not what we do for Jesus that saves us. It's what Jesus has done for us on the cross. It's his work, not our work. It's his work. Time is running out. Notice in Matthew 25. Sometimes people get to a point and they'll say, "You know what? Time is running out, but I've been too bad too long, or I've been saved, but I haven't served Christ all these years, and so I'm just doomed now. There's really nothing I can do about it." Yes, there is. Matthew 25 in verse 19. "After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.'" Well, there's a happy ending. Verse 22. "He also that had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.'" Another happy ending there. Well, what happens then? "Well, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine.' His Lord answered and said unto him, 'Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath, shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, this instance here was actually just another passage showing a person that is not truly born again. But back in Matthew chapter 20, this was the passage I actually wanted to share with you in closing here. Matthew 20 and verse 1. "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for 1 penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the 3rd hour. So here we're talking about 9 a.m. He'd been out there at 6, now at 9. "And saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, 'Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you.' And they went their way. Again he went out about the 6th hour, that'd be noon, and the 9th hour, that'd be 3 p.m., and did likewise. And about what? The 11th hour, this would be 5 p.m., the 11th hour, just 1 hour left to work. He went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, 'Why stand ye here all the day idle?' They say unto him, 'Because no man hath hired us.' He saith unto them, 'Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive.' So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, 'Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man," what? "A penny." They received the full amount. You know, it's Satan that tries to whisper in the ear of a Christian, you've been slothful, you haven't been serving the Lord faithfully too long, it's no use now. No, that's a lie. These workers here only had 1 hour left. The Jewish workday was from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. They're out there still at 5 p.m. willing to be used. Just 1 hour left. Time was short. And they received the full pay. So an encouragement to us, listen, while God gives us time, while He gives us life, let's be ready to serve Him. Don't let Satan tell you it's too late. Let's serve Him now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. I pray that You would encourage our hearts. Lord, help us not to listen to Satan telling us it's too late. There is a time accepted, and right now, you will receive lost sinners who are willing to repent and receive Christ as Savior. Jesus, the perfect and pure Son of God, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect sinless life and died on the cross, bearing our sin in His own body on the tree, was buried and rose again in victory from the grave, proving that His blood is sufficient to wash away our sins. I pray if there should be any here today who have never received Christ, that today they would trust Him as Savior. And I pray You'd help us as Christians. Lord, if there are Christians here today who are discouraged, thinking it's too late, too much time has elapsed, that now that You would never use them, help them to realize that's not true. You want to use all of us, even if we have only an hour left. And in this story today, those people received a full reward. Help us, Lord, to use the time that You've given us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.